okay? And that's what a lot of preaching out there today is. It's a lot of fluff. It sounds real good, makes people feel real good, but it doesn't do a whole lot to actually feed people on God's Word, okay? We're in chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, okay? And so, you know, again, part of that is just the idea of that, you know, we need to be nourished by God's Word, that is, feeding on it so that we grow. If all you do is you eat fluff, you know, just have a diet of marshmallows, then how healthy are you going to be? Right? Do what?
Fluffy.
You'll be fluffy, like the Michelin man, right? You know, you just be that kind of... but so not only is it fluff, there's not a whole lot to it, okay? But also, he uses the other descriptive as deceptive philosophy, okay? So there is deceit behind what some are teaching. Now, that deceit is not something that occurs accidentally, okay? Deceit doesn't just happen by itself, right? When someone is being deceitful about something, that is an attempt on their part, a conscious effort on their part, okay, to pull the wool over somebody's eyes, as the saying goes, right? So deceitfulness is not something that just happens accidentally. So there's a warning that he's giving here that there are those, and where are those going to be coming from? Where are these going to come from that are, you know, doing this hollow and deceptive philosophy? From the church. These are going to be people that are going to be, you know, supposed to be believers. They're going to be teaching things that are deceptive and empty and hollow. All right? Now, let's go to the text that I asked you to read. Let me get somebody to read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. Who's got it? All right, Wes, go ahead.
But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, defiant, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despising of good, traitors, headstrong, haunted, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And from such people, turn away.
Okay, so verse 5 again. What does it say there? Having what? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Okay? Well, what's the idea that you get from this? I mean, this list of things, activities that these folks be doing are pretty bad, right? Okay? But yet, these are folks who have a form of godliness, but deny its power. What does that mean? A form of godliness. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Do what, Wes?
Imitators,
okay. They look like, if something has a form of something, okay, it looks like that thing, right? But it's not the real thing, is it? Chuck? Right. Not at all. But what I want you to understand is who these people are. Okay? They are those who would call themselves godly people, who would say they belong to God. In other words, they look the part. Okay? But they're deceivers. Okay? We have any of those kind of folks around today? Lots of them. Dale? Yeah, exactly. Again, have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. As I think Dale said a moment ago, they're kind of making up their own God and their own way of doing things rather than following God. But again, they look good. Right? What about over in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5? All right. Okay. They, what, will turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Why? Because they don't want to put up with sound doctrine. Okay? Instead, they want somebody to, as the phrase goes, tickle their ears. Say things that will make them feel good. What comes to mind there? Televangelists. Okay? So again, this warning that Paul's giving to the church in Colossae is one that is still very valid for us today. Because we do have people out here that are teaching fluff. Okay? Emptiness. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody wants to hear that they're going to be rich. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's a very dangerous.
Oh, absolutely.
Point. I mean, to the point that people want a financial ruling, think I'm just not given enough.
Right.
Because I don't have this.
Right. And if you send in your prayer card, with your donation, then God will take away all your diseases and He'll make you healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Yeah. Right? And not just on TV. I mean,
that's. Absolutely, absolutely.
It amazes me, you understand 2,000 years later how it amazes me that doing that in the lifetime of the apostles. It took almost no time for people to start making up their own gospel.
Yeah. Which tells you what about humanity, humankind.
Paul railed about that almost constantly.
Yeah.
Well,
again, why these warnings? Because those things were taking place then, and they're still taking place now. Okay? He said, the time will come when men will not put up sound doctrine. How long did it take for that time to come? It was there, okay?
It was there. They tried to marry it with the old law.
Yeah.
The old law. They didn't want to let go of their power.
Right. And then, as we studied earlier in a previous study, we saw the development of what became Roman Catholicism that left what the teachings of the Scriptures were and made its own. You see? Again, the warning is still a valid warning for us today, and that should remind us of how important God's Word is still today. Chuck, would you help Willie's son is trying to bring him in. Would you mind helping him with that? Okay. He says, back over in verse 8 of Colossians 2, see that no one takes you captive. All right? Does somebody have a translation that says, don't be shackled, uses the word shackled by men's ignorance? Verse 8. No, we're talking in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Okay? But it's the idea here that he's talking about being taken captive, okay, is that idea of being shackled or imprisoned, right? Look over in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 1, where Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Okay? And this goes back, Denise, to what you mentioned a few moments ago, is those who would try to bind the law of Moses upon Gentile Christians. Okay? But again, it's that whole idea, we have freedom in Christ, don't let someone take you prisoner again, or enslave you to these false teachings. And so today, how does that fit into our own traditions, okay, and perhaps sometimes deceptive philosophies? Yeah. That's right. Let's forget about the denominations out there. Let's just focus in our own house. Okay? And have we been guilty of doing the same thing? Yeah, we make laws where God has not made laws. You see? And we say, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, it's got to be this way, or it's not what? It's not a Church of Christ, and therefore we can't fellowship with you. We still have, legalistic churches and those kinds of issues where certain rules or laws must be obeyed, or we are not going to fellowship with you. That wasn't a little church in right there in Omaha, was it?
Yes.
Was it?
Yes. Yeah, look, you know the church.
I know that church. Yeah. I know
we
that
know
church.
We didn't know before we went there. We didn't know before we went there.
Yes.
We saw the Bellevue church, and it was big. They were having their own issue. But we ended up back at Bellevue eventually. But yeah, it was really, really odd. They was, who are you trying to hide this from, God?
Yeah.
You're whispering it out here because if we stay in there, so God won't know that we're going and have an ice cream together?
Yeah, I when I went out, I'm sorry, Ray, go ahead.
Walk around outside, and he could see they had a bus
And there's a lot of there's a lot of issues like that that have separated our brotherhood over things like that. And that particular church, when I was out visiting my brother and his family there several years ago, my sister-in-law she's been one of those that just kind of searching, and so she goes from one church for a while, then she goes somewhere else. And so when I was out there, at that time she was going to a community church, and but she didn't really, she liked it, but she didn't understand what it was all about and so forth. So I told her, I said, "Tell you what," and I invited her to come to the church with me, and so what we ended up doing was basically we made a bargain. I said, "I'll tell you what, I'll go to your community church with you in the morning." I said, "You come with me to the Church of Christ."
And you picked out.
And, well, I didn't know any of the churches. I really didn't. I wasn't familiar with any of them. After the worship in the community church, we talked about, we looked at the Bible and talked about some things that were going on there that, And then we went to the Church of Christ, and when we left there, I had to apologize to her. That's how bad it was. For the things, because it was all about, we can't fellowship with this church, we can't fellowship, and these are the rules and all that. And, she basically said to me, said, "If that's what the Church of Christ is about, I don't want to have anything to do with it." And so, again, we're not talking about the denominations. We're just looking at, and we've got the same problem within the brotherhood. It's still going on today. We've got churches around this area that won't fellowship one another because, none of the other churches follow all the rules, that they have put in place. Now, when it comes to doctrinal issues, yes, we need to stand on those things. But when it comes to the rules that we make up ourselves, we have no business, first of all, making up our own rules. And secondly, trying to hold people to those as if they are God's laws and breaking fellowship with those who won't have anything, who won't follow those rules. Let me get Chuck had your hand up a moment ago, and then we'll get right here. Yeah, but they have to be willing to do that. Yeah, well, you start to say some kind of way. I'll tell you how it gets hashed out. This right here. As we come back to this and say, okay, what does it say in the Word? And we've had those discussions many times over different things. You what now? Wait a minute. You're getting personal now. We got three elders in here, and the man's telling us we could be wrong. Not right. Right? Yeah, our wives let us know when we're wrong, right? Oh, but you're exactly right, and that's why it always has to come back to this. It doesn't come, and it can never be, what I want or my opinion or what Dale or Ray or Jerry want. It's got to come back to this. Now, on those things where there is no this, again, we have the freedom that we're talking about here, that Paul's talking about. We have that freedom. Then, it does come down to what do we want to do? But where God has spoken, we need to speak the same thing. Ray?
Our responsibility is to God. And we must obey His word. But see, all of these issues that Paul is talking about come from men who do not want to follow God's word. It's just another way of the devil using his, well, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grounded right there.
I'm scared. Look, I'm scared to do wrong. People say you know you.
Right.
You got a lot of confidence in the
government. Absolutely. And those are the kinds of issues where people have drawn lines of fellowship over things that he's talking about here. These are. Well, you know, there's, one of the issues that thankfully is still a problem within the brotherhood, but it's, and we've been talking about this here more and more lately, that we have made a lot of progress, I'll say that, in terms of teaching and accepting, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. More and more that our brotherhood is opening up to the biblical teaching of the Holy Spirit actually living and dwelling within Christians, rather than when I first got into preaching years ago, that just was not something. If you espouse that, then you are a heretic, and all those kinds of things. And those things sometimes they take time. But what I think more than anything, what we've got to do is always come back to this and ask a question: what does it say here? And when somebody is telling us, no, we can't do that, or we have to do it this way or that way, we got to come back to this and say, but what does it say here? Okay. Now, having said all of that, okay, we also have to understand. He talks about in Galatians 5 our own traditions and so forth. Is there anything necessarily wrong with traditions?
No.
Okay.
As long as it's not made, thus is the Lord.
Okay.
I mean, you can have.
Exactly. As long as we keep them as traditions and not law of God, you see. And long as we know that the reason we do it this way is because that's our tradition, and we like it this way. Nothing wrong with that. Again, as long as it's not violating God's word, okay? And as long as we're not making that law and say we have to do it this way, we're wrong, okay? Look at and consider a couple of things that Jesus says about traditions. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, he basically is chastising the religious leaders of his day. And he tells them that they are nullifying the word of God for the sake of their traditions. Okay? Again, nothing wrong with traditions unless those traditions, as Jesus says, start taking God's word out of the way. Okay? And when you replace God's word with traditions, then we have a problem. Okay? Galatians chapter 1, 11 through 24. Look at what Paul says. Let's go over there for just a moment. Galatians 1. Let me get somebody to read for us here. Beginning in verse 11. And down to verse 24. Galatians chapter 1. I tell you what, let's get a couple of reasons. Let me get somebody to read 11 through 17 first. Right.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of because I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus.
Okay, somebody else to read 18 through 24.
And after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later I went to
Syria
and
Cilicia. Okay, so here Paul is basically recounting, you know, what he did to receive the message and where his authority as an apostle comes from. Notice what he says about his previous life and then the transition, okay? Go back over here to verse 14. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Okay? But, what does he say next? Right? He says something that Ray says a lot. Okay? When you know better, you do better, right? Okay? And that's basically what Paul is saying here. But when God showed me the right way, all right, then he started doing differently. And that's an important aspect of this. We may have certain traditions or things that we follow, but when we find that those things are not the way that God wants them to be done, we need to change the way we're doing things. We've got to be willing to do that. Do we have, in this congregation, do we have everything down exactly right? Nope, we don't. There's still things to learn. I don't know of anything. I cannot personally, right now, I can say to you, and I think Dale and Ray would agree with me, I don't know of anything specifically right now that we are doing that is not in accordance with God's Word. Okay? If I knew that, then believe me, we'd be changing it, okay?
And if we know, we should bring it.
Right. But my point is that, you know, sometimes we act in ignorance.
Right.
Okay? And so we have to have the attitude that if somebody comes along and shows us that, hey, wait a minute, you know, here's what y'all are doing, or here's what's going on, but here's what God's Word says, then we've got to have the attitude that says, okay, we need to change that. Okay? We have done that with some things, okay, in the past. And I suspect that as time goes along, we may come across something else that we feel really good about, and that maybe as we think about it and study it more, that we might go, You see? In everything, yeah.
Even if our corporate worship is done perfectly, that doesn't mean that we're doing everything that even that we know we ought to do.
Right, exactly, exactly.
That we know we're not doing it.
Right?
One of the things that I had to learn when I first became the first time singing, you were singing during the Lord's Supper. Well, you know, I had to learn too. Michael. God bless his soul. I don't know his name. He said,
Okay.
He said, sinning during the Lord's Supper. You know, see, I found out, not only that, I had to come up with the most solemn to say to it, the Lord's Supper. And not only that, a lot of people can't concentrate on the Lord when you're singing. Now, I've seen people read scriptures on the Lord's Supper concerning something about the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, I often say that that's wrong. I never say it's right. All I can say is it could be individual. But I do not like singing. And when I learn better, Michael said that I learn better,
right.
I start doing better. If I go to visit the church, man, things I'm not going to do, hey, that's wrong. No. You know, it don't mean I'm going to move on my own. You know?
Well, again, see, that's an issue where, there's room for disagreement on. And it would be a traditional thing, whether or not you have songs during communion or you don't or what have you. I don't know of anything in the scriptures that would prohibit doing that. And so, for us to bind it on people one way or another would be exactly what we're talking about here. You can't do that, you see. So we have to be real careful about those kinds of things. Chuck? Oh, you know.
Once God has revealed it to you, then you gotta change it.
You gotta change it, yeah.
What if you found out that it was wrong about your song in prayer? Because some churches have communion after the sermon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, those are traditions that people have set up, but there are churches who feel like that you've got to have two songs and a prayer and then another song, and if you don't do it that way, then it's wrong. And wait a minute. Chuck?
And then what about the closing song?
Yeah. Some have a closing song, some don't.
That was hard for us to adapt.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna bring that up, but some people just are troublemakers.
That's the
sheet that goes
right there.
Since it was brought up, I will also say that it's becoming contagious because now we got another song leader who's doing that. But
you know, we laugh about this, but Dale and I use this example a lot. We went to the church that years before we got there had been a rift because there was a painting up on the wall back behind the baptistry that had water in it, and it did not have reference to the water. Water was not running water.
Right.
Oh,
there's and unfortunately, we got it circulating back there. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things like that we have allowed to become, more than what they should be. I read of a church one time that actually split over the cloth on the communion table. That they had a cloth on the communion table for decades, and it had never been moved. And one of the ladies, took it and washed it, and it completely disintegrated. So they didn't have a new cloth to put on the communion table, and people came in, and it was like, where's the cloth? You've got to have a cloth. And nobody knew why, but it had always been there, and there were people that were so upset that they left. And you think, wait a minute. that kind of stuff is exactly what Paul is talking about. And we've got to make sure that we don't, mix up those traditions and things that we do. Again, there's nothing wrong with having traditions as long as they don't violate God's law and that we don't make them laws. You say we don't make laws out of them. Chuck, you had your hand up a moment ago?
Service that has
No. Yeah, you got to put a cover over it. Yeah.
And that was probably the reason why that all started, because well, there's going to be dust kicked up with that, so let me just cover it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I have a practical need, not a.
Right. But again, those things oftentimes have become law.
Well, don't you think it's not so much about that subject as when you have the interaction, there are some people who just think that they're or got to carry more weight.
Definitely.
That's it. Because that happened in Dale's dad's church where they were very, very active members. They ended up leaving, but one of the women there felt like she should have more say because her family had dedicated, given land to the church 50 years ago or whatever.
Right. Well, if you go and look at what Paul is talking about here back in Colossians, and so many of those kinds of problems, they come from somebody's wanting to have power over other people. And that's mostly where a lot of that stuff occurs, is somebody's on a power push. You know, they want to, you know, whether it's, you know, with my family, you know, we've been here forever, we're founding members of this church. You know, we contribute more than anybody else or what have you. When you're having those kind of things, you got a whole lot more problems than you realize.
And,
I remember when I was in North Augustine, we were going to replace the carpeting in the church, in the auditorium and all, and we assigned one of the men to handle that, you know, to find samples and figure out what they wanted to do and so forth. And he came to me and he said, well, I found these. He said, what do you think I ought to do? I said, I don't care. I said, find you a couple of ladies in the church and ask them and y'all figure it out. I said, I said, because I don't care what color the carpets are. And I said, neither do the other elders. I said, y'all figure it out. Whatever y'all want to do, put the carpet in there. That's what, you know, we want to have done. Don't make a... You know, it's again, that's something that's not an issue that elders need to be deciding anyway, in my opinion. That's something that, you know, you let the deacons or committee, whoever you've got to handle that, just do it, okay? Make it happen. And so, you know, again, those kinds of things that so often become dividing points, you know, for us and so forth. And we've just got to be really, really careful. Listen to what Paul is saying here in this section. Don't let anyone, and we've got to as a church, and as Dale brought up, also in our personal lives, don't let anyone take you captive by, you know, teaching things and insisting on things that are not biblical, that are not true. And then again, how do we make sure of that? How do we ensure that nobody does that to us? We've got to know the Word. You say, we've got to know the Word. And that way, when somebody comes along and says, oh, the Bible says thus and so, and we can go, no, it doesn't. You know? So, again, we've got to, you know, Paul's giving a warning to the church there in Colossae at that time, but that warning is just as valid today as it was in Paul's day. Because we've got the same kind of things going on with folks out here teaching all kinds of things, and then the same kind of problems oftentimes within the Lord's church where we're drawing lines of fellowship over things that have no business even in there. Okay? So we need to be really careful about those things. All right? Next week we're going to look at verses 9 through 15. We're going to talk about being made alive in Christ. Okay? Thank you all very much.